This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional health care and mental health treatment. Any views, any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA, if you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health, or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, it's straight up 6 o'clock, and time again at the WVUA FM studio. And we've got some technical difficulty. It's okay. I think we're having some technical difficulty. This is our last show. Hello? You're listening to Brain Matters on WVUA FM studio. We're having some technical difficulties. This is our last show, and we've done so well for the whole show. I mean, for the listeners not being able to hear us. Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from WVUA, and I'm BJ Gunther, Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show. In case you don't know, this show is about particular UA students. You can listen to us live. I just got to hear you guys, though, so that's confusing me a little bit. For those of you listening, yeah, it's like I said, you can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 The Capstone, but this is our last show. And you can also listen to us online at wvuafm.ua.edu and tonight video at wvuafm.ua.edu. And let me remind you, this is not a call, but you may email questions to the address I just gave. Also, if you have ideas, at wvuafm.ua.edu. And we'll consider using your idea. And I'm really best ideas. This is finals week. So there may be a lot of students who are heading out or heading. And we're going to be talking about campus and community. I got to thinking about this topic. I wanted to have two people on the show that would specifically talk about some of the organizations. In case you're new, I'd like to have some information out there for people who might want to volunteer or get involved. And sitting to my first guest just a few minutes ago before we went on the air about the tornado, the four-year anniversary, 11, in case you don't know. And I mean, I remember thinking, you know, it was really more evident to me personally that our students really got involved and helped, volunteered, and were instrumental in so many altruistic activities. That she is the communications director and representing the mayor's office since tonight. The mayor's, let me see if I can get this right, Stahlnaker.
That's right.
Oh, thank you. As I said before, I had so messed up the last name, so I'm sorry. I'm just going to call you Deidre.
Yeah, no, you got my last name right.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. And I will, BJ, I'm going to take the blame for the technical difficulties. What? I joke with my IT department that to blame.
We have done great all the way up until tonight. Who knows? It's just the nature of life. Where you're from, your educational background, how you got to the position you're in now.
Well, Army. So we lived in a variety of places, lived in the Pacific Northwest. When I was in college, my home was Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And so I moved down here to go to college, and Nashville, it's on the Kentucky state line. So I could walk to Kentucky from my house.
We have a lot of students, or we used to, from the Nashville. So tell us a little bit about your educational background.
Well, I went to the University of Alabama, political science, double major. And I decided to go to graduate school for advertising and PR. Mm-hmm. And while I was in graduate school, I also got a degree in journalism.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you ever work, did you ever write for the CW?
I did a couple of times. As a staff writer, where I just submit some articles and things like that. Nothing, I didn't hang out in the newsroom or really. I think I wrote three stories. Well, I have three clips.
How did you, and you worked at the University of Alabama, actually. What was your position here?
Yeah, I worked right out of grad school for almost 8 years.
What does that mean? Like, you're the communications director for the city of Tuscaloosa, is that correct?
When I was at UA, I did a lot of writing and a lot of sort of project of us. Not a lot of advertising, right, not a lot of sensational, the media, not the news or anything. But I did do a lot of writing. I did do a lot of, I still do this with the city. We get our accurate story out there.
Got it, yeah. I don't want to answer that. But if there is ever any kind of controversy, I'll put it like making a statement. You know, you always hear the city of Tuscaloosa whatever, we'll make a statement, but no comment.
Well, if I don't want to answer this question, and it's very PR for me just to say no comment. What we do, anytime there's any kind of crisis.
It just sounds like a lot of pressure.
You know, it kind of is. And I was actually just in a meeting with how you kind of have to be an adrenaline junkie if you're doing PR. Adrenaline.
I just changed microphone. Did you catch that? Yeah. That was slick. I was listening. Go through. But if you're the only one in your position, mm-hmm. And you said there's really, think it would be very scary sometimes.
Well,
you're going to, like, say the wrong thing.
No.
Or not.
When I would sell people that I was a PR major, they would just say, but you'll see that, you know, a lot of PR people are, they tend to be pretty quiet. They tend to, you know, just sort of, I think that that's kind of what I do. But when I'm working and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'll have a lot of peers, usually the mayor,
yeah,
you know, somebody just
a lot of other people mm-hmm. before you actually put
dumb it down. So my job's not really that bad.
No comment. I'm not going to say anything. So you being successful in this role that you're in, you just said the best aspect is your...
No. I'm some people would say I'm thoughtful. But I have a thoughtful response, and sometimes you'll probably hear it on the radio. You're probably
okay,
come,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're formulating and articulating. Mm-hmm.
Now there's some PR
so
people.
For me. I just, you know,
and the words just come smoothly and just they just roll with it, but not.
Mayor Maddox, Walt Maddox, our mayor of Tuscaloosa, appointing you as the City of Tuscaloosa's Communications Director. What responsibilities other than putting out role?
Well, there's a little bit of everything. There's a lot of media relations, and I know I do some fun publicity promotions for an event earlier this year, and those were the Mayor's Cup just this past weekend, and I did a lot of thanks of PR.
What about, give us a typical work week. What's a work week like being around at your office?
Yeah, catch up on email, which I think that's everyone's.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Doing some work at my desk, about a quarter go into meetings. I'm trying to get a feel of what's going on in the community. I read a lot of just trying to get a feel for what's going on in the city.
What about the interns who are PR majors and they're doing an internship? How long are they with you?
They're generally with me for a year. So I'm actually looking for new ones right now, which we're... No, we're interviewing. Yeah.
Chosen by your professors. So
yes. The PR professors choose a handful for us to interview, and that's what we're doing this week. So hopefully I'll have some new ones this summer because mine are leaving right now. So, and it's kind of sad. Yes. They're graduating.
I bet they got some great experience, though.
They did. And they're having some really great interviews. I'm really impressed with some of the interviews they've been able to grab.
Oh, yeah. Well, they must be pretty top tier students to be able
to. They're proficient in their PR classes.
The whole package mm-hmm. kind of thing. About how do you feel like the university helps the kids where you know, bring in a lot of money every weekend? What are other ways? And I'm talking about...
Actually, I think, and I've said this before, I think one of the things that gave me a legacy, and I kind of knew, you know, I had a good relationship with a lot of UA employees. So I kind of think that gave me a leg up. As far as
I don't know if specifically there are any specific program where students are openly sought after. I don't want to say recruited, but openly capacities, mm-hmm. not just PR.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a lot of what we do is just there's only one of us to do it, and there's no backup. There's an engineer or something that's very highly skilled and trained, and you have to have all these certifications. But we have a lot of interns to kind of just back up that the clerk's office does, and they really do a lot of. They don't just sit there and wait for somebody to come.
Do you know anything about their majors? Are their majors? Does it have something to do with the job that they're doing?
Usually, mm-hmm. Resume.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of programming our television channel. So that I think that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
To be able to
solid.
Well, she was she was an intern there, and this is something we acquired when we got this new television station, and we took over programming. It, nobody else had time to do it, and so she stepped up. And
we're going to take a break right now. I want to ask you another question, but I'm afraid...
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Okay.
No, it's on. It's good.
We're back on the air. This is Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. We're talking tonight about campus and community. And my first guest is from the city of Tuscaloosa. Her name is Deidre Stalnaker. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to mess that up every time I say it. And we were talking about ways in which students can get involved in working or planning or just involved in the city organization or civic activities, service learning, and Deidre was telling me that students are already involved in her office. But I wanted to talk a little bit about crisis management and the crisis management team. And you also have a FEMA National Incident Management System training. Research states that the impact of disaster is differentiated according to the developmental paths and levels of disaster preparedness of individual cities. In your opinion, and I'm referring to what happened with the tornado, in your opinion, what elements comprise an effective crisis response plan?
Well, I can really speak to the communication plan of the communication aspect of a crisis plan. And I probably will go, it'll probably transfers to the entire plan in general. And for me, I think it needs to be flexible and adaptable. You need to be able to just kind of go with the flow and adapt to the situations that are presented, because you can, that doesn't matter how thoroughly you plan. And then also it has to be easy to understand, so that, you know, if something happens to you, another person can fill in for them and be able to understand that plan.
How does the sense of, let me ask you this, piggybacking on change following a natural disaster?
Well, for Tuscaloosa, we always say how progressive our community is, and I think that really showed after the storm, the, you know, 12 minutes that it was, or not even 7 minutes that it was on the ground. But afterwards, they kind of, after the university, working with other volunteers, the city agencies, state-ups, and that's, you know, respond to the people's physical needs. They're taking people to the hospital, rescue, so that we can have this sort of fresh slate. And when we started to do that, we're good and we were fine, but we want to be better.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just I think to being exactly what we were before the storm.
And as far as students, try to clean up and do what I can. And I feel like after the tornado, or to the community, are more of a part of the community, because they were thing to perpetuate that since 2011.
That's a challenge that we have right now, because right after the tornado, right after the storm, a lot of people,
yes.
Right now we don't have that. We don't have that sense of urgency. We have a new crop of students. Most of them were not even here in 2000. Going. I think a lot of service organizations still... storm, but that's probably waning off, and it's probably going to even get less as the time
can just, it will just be a memory, a bad, tragic memory. From your time with the city, how would you
you can sum it up in one word: strong. It was amazing, the response in our community, and also just for a few years.
Yep.
A lot of our state's population have lived in Tuscaloosa at some point in their lives, even if it's just to go to school. They something as huge and impactful as April 27th, 2011. They were, and there was a lot of that sort of emotional ties that really, and to feel that too after the storm, and people that's, they're still holding on,
you know. Did any new prisons come up because of the recovery efforts? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. New departments, even.
Well, after the storm, according to FEMA, there's once that response phase is complete, you go into a recovery phase, and that's what we're in right now.
Still.
And we'll pet phase for a little while because we still have a lot of, because our damage was, we have a lot of unmet needs. That's what the federal government calls it.
Give us examples.
Well, housing, okay. Which people are very vocal about, you know, all the student apartments and everything. But we still there's still a need for housing for low-income community was people were really vocal about, well, let's not build back this low-income housing apartments. And so that's really Habitat for Humanity. We partnered with Habitat for Humanity, and they've really been able to do that. They just built their 100th house since they were in Tuscaloosa, since they were established, I think it was in 87 or 89. Mm-hmm. And 53 of those were since the tornado. So more than half.
Aside from recovery efforts, are there other areas managed by the city of Tuscaloosa that provide volunteer opportunities for campus and community?
We are always, you know, not just official city. Well, it's all, you know, we have special events, we have fundraisers. I've already mentioned the Mayor's Cup this past weekend. We runs the gamut. I mean, there's all kinds of volunteers. There's volunteers from local, from the university, and they just kind of volunteer and help out.
Hand out water.
Hey,
you're a runner.
I was a jogger. Yeah. I'm a run walk.
I ran it and came in third. Now. Yeah, take a bow.
I was like 12th in my age group, so I'm impressed by the third. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the air show of events. If you can't dedicate yourself to an entire semester and learning the ins and outs of,
on campus we have a whole office devoted to volunteerism. If you need volunteers for the Mayor's Cup, if you need volunteers for whatever it is there a?
Yes. I don't do it. Yes, I don't. Usually when we have those events in our, it's called a command. Within that system and with that structure, we have a volunteer coordinator. And so they reach out to, I'm sure they reach out to UA's volunteer office. So if not, they're missing out. But no, I think that they.
I know with Habitat, that is one of the probably. I'd say most known, but then when they go on the volunteer website, which is volunteer, I think it's volunteer.ua.organizations that they can volunteer with. I mean, it's remarkable. So if you're listening and you to help your community, because we do consider being a resident of Northport. I mean, they make up, what's the percentage? 36,000 is the enrollment. So what percentage of the city is that?
I normally say about 20%.
Where, it's a big chunk.
Yeah, they're not all campus or all in Tuscaloosa, but they, and we have about 95, so always around up to 100. So I guesstimate at about 20.
You know, that can really make a difference. We're going to take another break, and we've got our second. Well, we're using one microphone, so this is very difficult. I've never had to do this before, so it's really awkward.
I feel like we're singing a duet.
I mean, we're sitting so close. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so weird.
And no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of a provider at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest.
Major technical difficulties. Can you tell it's our last show? It's our last show for the semester, and hopefully we'll be back. So if you have any questions or any suggestions for ideas for topics for next fall, .ua.edu, and I will definitely take those into consideration. We're talking to the communications director, Deidre Stallnaker. Let me just say that slowly. NU SGA president, Elliot Spillers, and Elliot and I are sharing a microphone, just FYI, and so we're sitting uncomfortably close for our first meeting. I'm sorry, Elliot, and all day. You've probably had, well, never mind. Tell us a little bit about your history. Where are you from?
Of course. So my name is Elliot Spillers, and I am the current SGA minoring in political science, and I'm also in the Blunt program, so that constitutes as a minor as well. capacity, not necessarily politics, but government. My mom and dad, they've always been, you know, trained and groomed of the governmental, living life of public service.
What about, did you ever have any ideas about going into the Air Force?
Currently, right now, it's something I'm thinking about after I graduate, mm-hmm. Just recently. And so I'm, you know, just kind of figure out what I want to do.
You heard it here first on 90.7 The Capstone. What year are you?
I'm a junior.
Okay, so, and you forgot to tell me where you're from. I think maybe you told me.
Because I'm military bred. I've traveled everywhere.
That's right.
And nowhere is home classified as, you know, Bama is home. So
that's good. Have you felt, you know, we're talking about campus and community. Have you felt a sense of community here at the University of Alabama? Do you feel like the city of Tuscaloosa or, you know, the citizens have embraced?
I actually used to work in the Center for Service and Leadership under the direction of Courtney. I actually was able to really be the bridge between campus and community. I got, you know, students involved for humanity builds. We actually have a program called Owls Pals where we actually have Kinsey Court, Northington, Central, and Maxwell Elementary Schools, and you know, kids can come up to you and just say thank you. You know, and
is it? Tell me a little thing, Center, and she has participated in Owls Pals. How you know, how do you make a commitment to be a part of that? Is there a commitment? Like you have to do it for so many months?
There is. The week students are going out and helping these kids with their homework. They're teaching. It's amazing when they can come up and really, you know, but it's Owls Pals has been there for well over, you know, 6 years. They have seen their youth grow up, you know, their students grow. And it is, you know, Courtney always says this, we want to have meaningful service and measurable change.
Exactly.
To get something from us. And we also want to make sure we can measure and sustain the change.
Because, you know, now the majority of our students, our county, I live in Northport, as I said, you know, one of my concerns is, are we just, like, are the students coming here just using up Tuscaloosa, using up the campus, and not really?
Definitely. And to that, I'll say that we can always do more. I think that our camp at the University of Alabama, who come from all over the world, and truly what I want, I have friends now who are T-Town natives, as I'll say.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've
changed to the ghost of Northport.
I'll
tell you about that off air.
But this city—it's an honor, you know, for us as students to be living in your community.
That's right.
And I want all of us to take pride in that. And with that, all of us have to give back.
Oh, really? Here,
okay.
SGA president. Okay, so talk. I'm as SGA president because it has a lot to do, from what I hear, with what I do in the mental health field. And it's that you proposed when you first took office.
Definitely. So, to truly achieve and obtain our goals, we have to live. We have to live a balanced lifestyle. I know too often we are stressed, overwhelmed with different things that life bring awareness to this balanced lifestyle through six different dimensions of wellness. That being physical well-being, emotional and environmental well-being, of the larger us. The person that you know, the rent should strive for. I think in our Capstone Creed it says that we have to strive for excellence.
I talk a lot on air about students coming into the counseling center, and I would say this week and last week, okay. But stressed out and don't know how to balance. I've worked with, and she has worked very hard to change thinking about not only school, but just her life in general. And her life has slowly become, and she's doing great. But it's very hard to explain. These are great ideas, and
yes.
I'm so behind
yes,
you.
Yes.
So what is your plan for implementing?
That I see on the six dimensions of wellness is this emotional well-being aspect. And it stemmed from mental illness. And for me, what if I knew where the counseling center was or a resource to point my friend to. And all of our best interests, if we had the training needed to to be that person there. The thing that we're trying to do right now is work with housing, fraternity and sorority life, and just leaders of the skill set and the knowledge of what mental illness looks like on a student. And under that emotional well-being topic is also this issue of sex. Mm-hmm. And at our campus, it's something that we really have not hit on or tackled, which is awareness and creating those preventative steps for leaders and students all across the campus to have. And mm-hmm. to really make sure that we have, that we shut out all these different.
You know, when we talk about it like we're talking about it now, I mean, it sounds simpler, of course, than it really is. The culture, it's just how do you change a culture of thinking? I mean, it takes you to do it. And of course, we would love to be involved. The Counseling Center, the WG, are constantly, I feel like as a therapist for the Counseling Center, I am constantly trying to meet. And there's something that's always missing, you know? Don't know what it is, necessarily.
Circle is talking about issues stemming from mental awareness, and it's great, and I'm not, you know, downplaying that at all. However, what we with, right. I've been in so many conversations where after the talk, we are empowered. We really want to try. I want to facilitate the dialogue, but I also want to have a place where they can go to
your advice that you would give to your peers about how to maximize their own college learning experience.
Definitely, I will say find your niche. You know, I think that when you have roughly 40,000 students on a campus, you know, I attend church to the Highlands, and our church is huge. It's very, we have to grow smaller. And when you find your small home on our campus, you know, with over your 3 years at university or 4 years or five.
What sorts of community building programming is offered on the campus level? I mean, you worked in...
We have so much. From a student level, we have Owls Pals again. So Hands on Tuscaloosa is actually an initiative that started out a couple of years for us to go into the community and have one full day of service. Okay. I know that last year we had over 500 students. We actually partnered with the YMCA, all different, you know, agents across Tuscaloosa, and just called them up and said, you know, hey, for one day, what do you need help with? What can we do to help give back to Tuscaloosa? Quad, where we just had that two nights last week, actually. It was beautiful.
Great.
And we brought in speakers, and it was a way from 6 p.m. to experience what it's like to be homeless,
yeah.
You know, and really hit
in the
on
elements.
Exactly. And we also have a campus kitchens program where all of the unused back to Tuscaloosa and different families and members of the Tuscaloosa community to battle the problem of food insecurities in Tuscaloosa.
Show talking about volunteerism or getting involved with the community. I mean, I just don't think there's...
And I can honestly say that that since I've been at UA and thankful to Courtney Thomas of service being documented over the year, this semester alone, we have roughly...
It'll increase too.
Exactly, and it will. And this is just the beginning. It's just a plan. And issues of diversity, we can all get behind service, and it's a great way for students to just get.
I say this just about every week. I do research by reading some articles about the topic, when, you know, so I'll be a little better prepared, or so to speak. And I've read, I read an article today about the benefits of social learning, you know, and you're hitting some of those, I think, with your tenets. Now, I don't know how they'll be tied into necessarily community service, but it has to be. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Psychological benefits, which means less stress and less depression, more life satisfaction. You just feel good when you volunteer, when you feel like you're making a difference and you have a purpose. Improved mental health, we talked about that. Social benefits, like cooperation and citizenship, improved communication skills, positive opportunities for at-risk youth. I mean, it gives at-risk youth a reason to feel empathy. or to teach them empathy if that's possible. And I believe it is. Cognitive benefits, which would involve political and civic awareness, exposure to diversity, multiculturalism, different ways of thinking, critical thinking, and problem-solving skills. I mean, so to me, you just become a more altruistic, you know, and a lot of the students who come into the counseling center feel good, like you mean something to somebody.
It's so true. I know under the spirituals, but rather civic involvement, civic engagement, that's where the community service element will hit. Every initiative that we do where it's an interfaith service day. So you have all different groups represented. And it's crazy how, not about religious beliefs, but really about connecting, giving back to Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. And it's something that all of us need to adopt and need to harness.
Mm-hmm. Or study for all that you're involved in, you know?
Well, me either, but...
How do you keep a balanced life?
Hey, those who can do teach, right?
Oh my gosh.
But definitely, but definitely what I do is I try and live a routine. And after about 7:30, which is coming up. Yes. I don't do anything else SGA related. Nothing. I turn my phone off, and
watch
that's
TV.
When I have no. I do homework at this point, and before that, you know, I wake up in the morning. I go to the gym. I work out, and so I just kind of have a routine. It took me a while to get here, but you know, I'm here.
You're going into the Air Force, aren't you?
I don't know. We'll see.
Like you've been raised by two Air Force parents, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show.
Of course.
I know it's been a little awkward us sitting here sharing a microphone, but hopefully they'll get that fixed by next fall. I'm gonna make some announcements, and then we'll go off the air, and hopefully we'll see you next fall. You know, we record and podcast each of our shows, and we put them on the Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. If you want to listen to the past shows, just click on the Brain Matters icon. It'll take you to some of those shows. You know, Elliot mentioned training for suicide prevention, and we actually offer QPR training, which it's upon request, but it stands for question, persuade, and refer. Three steps anyone can learn to help prevent suicide. Do your part, and in two short hours, learn the warning signs for suicide and three simple skills of how to intervene and save someone's life who is suicidal. To sign up for free QPR gatekeeper training for suicide prevention for your department or individually, or if you just have questions about QPR, please contact us at the Counseling Center at 348-3863. Just like CPR, QPR is an emergency response to someone in crisis and can save lives. As always, I want to thank a few people who've made this show possible throughout the year. Dr. Lee Keyes, who's the executive director of the Counseling Center, Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media, my production assistants, Natalie Beck, Dorothy Beck, who's graduating, Al Johnson, who's also graduating, and Al won't be back with us, but thank you so much for helping us. Dorothy and Natalie will both be back in the fall. I say next year, but I mean next academic year. I want to thank my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and of course my guests tonight, Deidre Stahlnaker and Elliot Spillers. I just went brain dead for a minute. Did you see that? I haven't eaten. We'll return next fall, hopefully. Oh my gosh. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and this has been Brain Matters on 90.7, the Capstone.